This is Frank Sieverts. We're interviewing Ambassador Duke for the Kennedy Memorial Library Oral History Project. This is July the 10th. You were interrupted in mid-sentence when the tape ran out, so why don't you just continue?
Well, there are some points to be drawn from the kind of welcome that President got, but at Caracas.
Yes.
Obviously and inevitably, one thinks back on the incident that involved Richard Nixon years before, and I think this was in the back of everybody's mind, and not too far in back of their mind either, when you saw this, as I said before, chaotic reception. One couldn't help but be concerned and worried about the lack of crowd control at that airport ceremony, because you thought, my God, this is the start of the thing, and we're going to be here some time. Is it going to roll along, and is it going to be cumulative, and are we going to run into a potential incident here as we go along? Well, funnily enough, as I say, leaving the airport, there was a mad scramble among our party, and I'm speaking of our party in terms of the 10 official members of the delegation, of which I was one. It was hard enough to get into a car at all, and finally when I made it, the car got out of the motorcade, tried to catch up, and as we were on the expressway into town, this careening car is trying to avoid the unofficial cars cutting in and out of the motorcade. A policeman going around a curve on a motorcycle turned over right in front of us, and we just couldn't miss him. And weirdly enough, he was thrown clear, and we just crunched over his motorcycle. Mm. Stopped, nearly got killed, stopped to see if he was all right. He picked himself up and dragged the wreck off the road, and we careened on. Well, that's really beside the point of the mainstream of the history of this story. But that's a detail. But the point is, I was just saying that it was a wildly chaotic atmosphere, and you couldn't help but have a feeling of rather grave concern as to whether the president was going to come out alive of this thing. And yet, oddly enough, as we got into the Caracas visit, and we got in downtown, the streets were packed, people were delirious with enthusiasm. There were troops every 100 feet or so in the main part of town, and in Caracas itself, the crowd was far more disciplined and orderly, and we didn't run into any more disorderly scenes at all while he was there. You can't help but think of something else, and that is that of comparing it with the Richard Nixon trip in this particular sense, that of course John F. Kennedy was a symbol of hope to Latin America, beyond purely the words of the doctrine for Alliance for Progress, that his youth and his ideas and his ideals really truly had gotten down to the mass of people. He had reached them somehow, and it was visible in the crowds that he drew out in the streets of Caracas and later on in Bogota. I draw this back to the Mexican trip, and I think that part of the reason for it was in the Mexican trip.
Mm-hmm.
This was a tremendous success in Latin America through his obeisance to the Mexican Revolution, which made a profound impression in Mexico and in Latin America. By the time he hit Caracas and Bogota, he was a very real figure to them.
Mm-hmm.
He was a mass popular figure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the crowd reactions meant to me in both those
very
cities.
Interesting point.
In Bogota, we ran into a different atmosphere. Colombia has a more traditional society, without making any invidious comparisons, let me say it's a more dignified world.
Mm-hmm.
It has a much more, to me, a much more traditional Spanish atmosphere. The president's house, the place he entertained, the palace that they gave the dinner for the president, Miss Kennedy, was really magnificent.
Mm.
And it did carry with it a spirit of the past, and Miss Kennedy herself was particularly interested in the restoration and the maintenance of this beautiful palace. And I understand that she drew some inspiration from that for the White House, at least that so it's told. Again, Bogota, and you think of the Bogotazo of 1948, of the wrecking of the conference, the Foreign Ministers' Conference in 1948. You can't help but think of those anti-Yankee days and the record crowds that got out to welcome the president in Bogota. The tremendous contrast in feeling between between those two dates. These are, of course, superficial comments without the benefit of any notes or without any looking back into any of the even the calendar of the period.
Very fascinating, though, because it does illustrate this point that sometimes made, that he was in himself perhaps the greatest weapon or instrument that we had in our foreign policy, just what he was and the way people abroad responded to him.
See, I've always felt, one of the things I always felt about the Alliance for Progress, before I took these trips, I felt that we ought to have a personification of the Alliance through a personalized instrument of it, somewhat like Franklin Roosevelt used for, as coordinator of American Inter-American Affairs, he used Nelson Rockefeller, who became a very popular symbol of the president's interest in Latin America. And being somewhat critical of our hemispheric policies, I felt that President Kennedy should have had for an Assistant Secretary of State someone who could have dramatized his interest in Latin America. Well, these trips showed me I was wrong because of the fact that the President himself symbolized his own interest and personified it in people's minds. And it would actually probably have diffused this had he delegated this to someone else.
Partly just the result of these fantastic modern means of communications that we have, that you can take a single person like this and, in a sense, broadcast him to the whole world. You don't have to have separate individuals.
No.
Because he, his face, his image, became...
And his own personal involvement, and he knew he was qualified, involved in it. The last trip, which I'd like to devote some time to, and I'm afraid I can't now, is the trip to Berlin and Ireland, and I'd like to go to that with a few notes and reminders.
This is Frank Sieverts. We've just finished another installment of the interview with Ambassador Duke for the Kennedy Oral History Project, and we'll resume this conversation on the 21st of July. Today is July 10th, 1964.